It seems like there are some people that are just made for certain things, right? I mean, it seems like Tiger Woods was made to swing a golf club. It seems like Serena Williams was made to swing a tennis racket. It seems like Michael Phelps was made to swim. It seems like, I don't know, Johnny Carson was made to host late night television. It seems like John Rockefeller was made to make money. There's a lot of different people that we look at, and it's not to say that they don't work hard at those things, they don't practice and they don't prepare and don't put a lot of time and effort and energy into those things, but just there's just some people that just seem like they're made for certain things. They seem more gifted at it. They seem more talented at it. It seems to come to them more naturally than maybe some of the rest of us. But my guess is, There's people that we can look at, maybe even looking at ourselves, and there's things that we really enjoy. There's things that we're really talented at. There's things that we can look at and go, man, I'm made for this. There are some people, and maybe even people in this room, that are made to be accountants. I am not. I took one accounting class when I was in college, and I hated it. I am not made. God did not make me to be an accountant. It's not that I couldn't work hard to become one. I just wasn't made to be one. Some people are made to be teachers. Some people have the patience and the ability to communicate to kids and connect with them and share knowledge with them. And some people are not. And maybe you had one of those teachers growing up that was like, that person was not made to be a teacher. I'm glad they took the time and effort, but they weren't made for that. Some people are made to hunt and to fish and to do all the outdoorsy things. And some people are not. Some people are made to go glamping and not camping, right? Some people are made for resorts and hotels and not pop-up tents and things like that. Some people are made to cook and to bake and to make these incredible foods. Some people are not. I mean, you can follow a recipe, but even, you know, I literally have burned water before. I burned a pot because I boiled all the water out of it. So some people are made to, like, decorate, like, They know how to arrange furniture and things on the wall and you know, holiday decorations, all those kinds of things. And some people are not. Some people can repair cars. They understand machinery and gears and how all those things work. And they're made for that. And some people just can't. You can explain it to them. You can walk them through it step by step. And they struggle with it. Some people are made for mowing and landscaping. You know, the guys get out there and everything is at the right edge and we're clipping things just right. And some people are made to just, you know, it's good enough. Most of the grass is short and, okay, there's a few weeds, but it kind of adds to the ambiance. There's all sorts of things that we can look at ourselves, look at other people. We look at ourselves and go, man, I am made for this. This is something that I'm made to do. And then there's other things that we kind of question. Like, I'm not sure that I'm made for that particular thing. And we look at somebody else and go, oh, they are made for what they are doing in that situation. They're made for it. And then there's some things that we look at other people and go, they're doing something they probably weren't made to do. But there's one thing, at least one thing, that God has made all of us to do. Every single one of us. And we find that out in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Here's what Paul says. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Paul says that I was made to do good things. You were made to do good things. Now, can those good things differ? Absolutely. But all of us, especially those of us who have given our lives to Jesus, who have been baptized into his name, who have his spirit living in us, who are children of God, we are made, we are designed to do good things. God made us to be able to do that. So if you're even questioning whether you're, you know, a teenager or, you know, not quite a teenager anymore, and you're still wondering, what is it that I'm good at? What is it that I'm, what are my talents and abilities? What is it I'm made to do? Here's one of the answers. Every single one of us has been made, handcrafted by God. We're God's workmanship to do good stuff. And that's important because of what we started talking about last week, this thought of overflow, of pouring out of our lives what has been poured into us. And we recognized last week that God blesses all of us. God pours blessings into our lives. And he gives us things that maybe we weren't expecting. He gives us sometimes the things we ask for. And sometimes he doesn't give us necessarily the things that we want or ask for, but it's always what we need. And God pours those blessings into our lives, and he always exceeds our expectations. He always goes beyond what we actually expect or what we would think that we might get. But the expectation from God is not just to keep those blessings to ourselves, but to pour those things into the lives of others. And God doesn't always just overflow blessings like wealth and possessions and, you know, stuff and positions and titles and all those things that we might want. But God gives us what we need. He pours love and he pours compassion. He pours acceptance. He pours mercy. He pours grace, sometimes physical blessings, into our lives so that we can be blessed by them, so that good things can happen in our lives because of them, but not just so that we can keep those things for ourselves, but so we can pour those things in the lives of others. Look again, we looked at this verse last week. I want to show it to you again. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, Paul says, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, if you weren't with us last Sunday or if you forgot since then, the ancient Greek language that this particular verse was originally written in, our English Bibles use the word there in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, abundantly and abound. And we talked about how that word, that Greek word that we translate with those English words, that Greek word literally meant to go beyond expectations, to go beyond boundaries, to overflow. And so what Paul is saying is that God is going to overflow things into my life. God is going to go beyond the expectations of things that I need in my life. He's going to exceed those expectations. He's going to go beyond those boundaries. Again, but not just so that I can try to hold on to all that stuff, but so that I can take that stuff that is pouring into my life and pour it out into the lives of others. That I will overflow with his overflowing blessings. I will overflow those blessings into the lives of other people. That's what God does for us, and that's what God expects of us. And that's what we're focusing on. That's what we started focusing on last week. We talked about how God overflows love into our lives. That we experience overflowing kindness and patience and forgiveness and grace and hope and purpose from God. And we need that. We need God to pour that stuff into our lives. But the expectation is for us to also pour kindness and compassion and patience and forgiveness and grace and acceptance into the lives of others. But another way that God pours into us and has the expectation of us pouring out of our lives is through the way that we serve. Now, that's part of our mission here at Flagstone. And if you didn't know that already, if this is your first time here, you've only been here a few times, I mean, we have a mission here. We have some things that we think God calls us to, at least as part of this church family. We believe that God created the Flagstone family for some specific purposes. And some of those purposes are to reach out, connect, and serve. You can do it with me. Reach out, connect, serve. One more time, only about half of y'all are doing it, and I'm going to make all the people who don't want to do this feel awkward anyway. Reach out, connect, serve. Part of our mission, part of why we believe this church family exists, is to serve other people. And that's not just a churchy word, and that's not just something that we thought, well, we need three things to have as our mission, so let's pick another one. We truly believe that is why God created the Flagstone family. It's to serve, to pour good stuff into the lives of other people. And so if you go back and look again at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, you know, where Paul says, you will abound, you will overflow in every good work. That's the expectation. God is going to overflow into my life so that I will overflow in every good work, in doing good stuff, in helping and volunteering and serving other people. In a culture that for the last however many decades has tried to tell us that the goal in life, that my purpose in life, is to get as much as I can for me by the time that I die. To get to get all the wealth that I can, to get the biggest house that I can, the nicest neighborhood, and to get all the things with all the buttons and all the gadgets, and to get the nicest clothes and the best makeup, and to do everything that I can to make myself feel more successful, more powerful, more beautiful, whatever it is, to accumulate all that I can until I go to the grave. That's what our culture says is my goal in life, or at least it should be. And I want to make sure that we understand, it is not wrong to have wealth and big houses and all the new gadgets with all the buttons and all those things. But when God pours those things into my life, when God allows me to be blessed with those particular things, the expectation is not just for me to grab all that and hold on to it as tight as I can. The expectation is for God to pour those things into me so that they pour out of me. So that I will use my wealth and my house and my car and my gadgets and whatever else that it is that the rest of the world says, hold on to that for yourself. I use those things to bless other people, to overflow with doing good, with serving, with helping. That's what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 18. He's talking to Timothy about the church that Timothy is working at that particular time. And he says this, he says, command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be willing to be generous and willing to share. To be rich in bank accounts? No. To be rich in investments? No. To be rich in, you know, 401k? No. What does he say to be rich in? Good deeds. Doing good stuff. Helping. Volunteering. Serving. God wants us to help. God wants us to do good. He wants us to serve. That's part of why he gives us the talents and the abilities and stuff that we have. I mean, the Apostle Paul, I'm sorry, Jesus, not Paul, Jesus, tells a story in Matthew chapter 25. It's a story that's really familiar to us, so I'll give you the really condensed version. He tells a story about a guy who's very wealthy and he's going to go on a trip and he has three guys working for him and he gives all three of those guys, you know, bags of money before he leaves to do something with. He gives one guy five bags, one guy two bags, one guy one bag, and then he goes on his trip. When he comes back, he asks everybody to report, what'd you do while I was gone? The guy with the five bags, the guy with the two bags, both those guys double their money. They're like, you gave me five, here's five more. You gave me two, here's two more. The guy with one bag of money goes over and digs up out of the ground and brings the bag that he was originally given back to his master. Says, here you go. I'm giving you back what it is you gave me. I didn't lose a dime. It's all here. And the master is upset with the third guy. Why? Not because he lost money. Because he didn't do anything with it. See, the expectation from that master in giving those bags of money to those guys was that they would use the opportunity to do something with it. Was there the risk of failure? Was there the risk of losing some of it? Absolutely. But go do something with it. And the one guy that got in trouble, the one guy that was reprimanded, was because the reason he's reprimanded is because he didn't do anything. And I think that's a struggle that many of us have. I think that God gets frustrated with a lot of us, myself included, sometimes. When he gives us blessings, when he gives us stuff, he gives us possessions, he gives us time, he gives us gifts, he gives us skills, he gives us abilities, and he says, go do something with this, and we don't do anything. It's not that we're causing problems, it's not that we're making things worse, we're just not even trying, we're not doing anything. The expectation is, when God overflows blessings into my life, I am to use those blessings to overflow into the lives of others and do good. To serve. I have to have a heart for doing good. I have to have a heart that wants to help. I need to have a heart that wants to serve. Give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And if you go back and you know, read that, if you read that, like I said before, in the original you know, the ancient Greek, when it says, give yourselves fully, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, guess what that Greek word is? Beyond expectations, beyond boundaries, overflow. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying that doing good things for God and doing things that draw people to God, those are the kind of actions that should overflow out of my life. And it's not for nothing. There's a reason for that. There's something that happens when I choose to do that. God is going to do something with whatever it is that I choose to do, with however it is that those blessings, those opportunities, those gifts, those talents, those abilities pour out of my life. God is going to do something with that. And I may not know exactly what it is, and I may never even see exactly what it is, but God is going to bless whatever it is that I choose to bless other people with. It's not pointless. Paul says, don't let anything move you. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything keep you from overflowing in your service, in your doing good for other people. Don't let criticism, don't let people who want to criticize and say, well, you stink at that. You're awful at that. Why are you even trying that? Don't let that stop you. Don't let your fear of failure stop you. Don't let your fear of past failures stop you from doing good, from doing the things that God has given you the opportunity and the ability to do. Don't let other priorities, I've got this going on, this is on my schedule, I got to get this done, there's these things that have to happen first. Once I clear my schedule, then I will help, volunteer, serve. Paul says, don't let anything move you. Don't let anything get in the way of doing good, blessing other people, serving. I'm going to have the opportunities to serve, so I need to take advantage of it. That's what Paul calls us to in Galatians chapter 6. In verse 10, he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to who? All people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. But to all people. And the key thing in this scripture here in Galatians chapter 6 is that Paul doesn't say, if you happen to come across an opportunity to do good, what does he say? As we have opportunity to do good, which means what? There's going to be opportunities to do good. Just open your eyes and watch. There's going to be opportunities for you to bless somebody, to help somebody, to offer a hand, to offer encouragement, to serve in some way. The opportunities are going to be there. So Paul says, when it happens, when that opportunity comes, not if, but when, then do it. Help somebody. God has given you that ability. God has given you that gift. God has given you those things, whatever it is. God gave it to you so that you can use it. Not for your glory, but for his. And not so that you can pat yourself on the back, but so that you can bless somebody else with it. You're going to have the opportunity to do good. You're going to have the opportunity to do good within the church. You're going to have the opportunity to do good for people outside of the church. Go help. Go serve. Go volunteer. Go do good. The opportunities are there. You know what? The opportunities are there. And what we want to do this morning, I apologize that you're having to listen to me during this part, because our connections minister, Brandon Dodd, was going to share this part of our time together this morning with you. But his great-grandmother, who I believe was 106 years old, passed away, and he's at the memorial service for her this weekend. And so I'm going to share with you what he was going to share with you, which is this. We want to try to make this as simple as possible for you to see the opportunities to serve. They're here in front of you right now, okay? So if you got your bulletin this morning, and if you don't have a bulletin, look over the shoulder of somebody sitting next to you that has one. But inside your bulletin, on the bottom left, we have this blue box that talks about serving, talks about volunteering, opportunities to help here at Flagstone. And there's a QR code that's there. And if you're watching online, or maybe you can see right here, the QR code is up here on the screen. If you don't have a bulletin, you can get your phone out right now and use that QR code. But if you got your bulletin, take your phone out, scan that QR code right now, and it's going to bring up this form right here. It says serve at the top of it. And when you scroll through that form, you're going to see an area for you to fill out your contact information. Here's my name. Here's my email address. Here's my phone number. And folks, this is for people who are already fully committed members. But honestly, if you're a guest here this morning and want to know what opportunities there are to serve, this is for you too. And you can look, and there's a whole list that we have there. As you scroll down that list, when you do that, when that form comes up, there's all these different things you can do, and you can click on as many of those things as you want to. And when you submit that form, then whoever, the man or the woman that is in charge of whatever ministries that you click that you're interested in, will get a notification. They'll get this email or this text that says, this person wants to know more about this particular ministry that you're in charge of. And they will contact you. And if you haven't heard back from anyone after a few days after submitting this form, then you contact me or you contact our church office, and we will make sure that you get the information that you need so that you can volunteer and you can help. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, you're looking down that list of things that you can kind of tap on and go, okay, I'm interested in this or this. There might be some things you see on the list and you think to yourself, I don't know what that is, or I don't know what all that involves. Well, if you look on that form, right above where you enter your contact information is a link. And when you click on that link, that will bring up a PDF that looks similar to this. That will have all those different ministries that you can volunteer for right now. It'll have them listed out. And not just the list of them, it'll give you a quick description about what each one of those particular ministries involves. What does it do? What am I doing when I volunteer for this thing? And we try to help by including, here's how much the time commitment is. It'll be this many hours a week or this many times a month or whatever it is. We're trying to make it as simple for you as possible. Just here at Flagstone to help us fulfill our mission to reach out, connect, and serve. I don't know where to serve. We're trying to make it available for you. We're trying to answer that question for you. Because here's the thing. There are opportunities to serve. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to our church family. So we're trying to help you this morning. So I hope there's a whole bunch of notifications that are going out to our ministry leaders right now. I really hope so. Or by the end of the day today, that there are people going, I want to help. I want to get involved. I want to do that. I want to join in that. Let me help with that. The opportunities are going to be there. We just have to be ready for them. When I was in high school, I played basketball. That was about the only sport I played. And my senior year, the little school that I went to ended up not having enough players for a basketball team. So my senior year of high school, I had to go play for the city league kind of league, you know. And the guys that, I got put on a team, I because our team kind of folded late, I kind of got signed up late. And so the teams that had already been formed, they just added me to this roster, a whole bunch of guys I didn't know. And those guys, great, great dudes. Not that skilled at basketball. Not that I'm the world's foremost basketball player either. But these guys, they needed help. They needed more practice than what we had availability to practice. Now, first game that I'm in, I'm trying to help and play defense. And I told you guys a few weeks ago, I had a basketball coach at one time that told me to stop shooting, right? So I was convinced I wasn't that great a shooter. But because I was convinced I wasn't a good shooter, I was a really good passer. I learned how to pass. And so I go down, during the middle of this game, I go dribbling down the court, and the defense, kind of collapses on me. And I jump up, I go and shoot the ball, and they jump up to block it, and then I dish it off to this guy that's wide open underneath the basket. And I'm not kidding you, the ball just smashed off his face out of bounds. And I was like, ugh. And that happened two or three more times in the game with that particular guy. And finally, during one of the timeouts, I was like, listen, man, if you will just do this with your hands, when I get close, I will get you the ball, I promise. Just be ready for it. And that was the problem. He wasn't ready. He was in uniform, he was on the court, but he wasn't ready. The ball was getting ready to come to him, and he wasn't ready for the opportunity to catch it and do something with it. And I don't want that to be said about anybody in our church family. That we're not ready to do good. See, that's the challenge from Paul to Titus in Titus chapter 3. As he's telling Titus how to work with the church that Titus is working with at that time, it says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, remind the people to be ready to do whatever is good. Be ready. The opportunities are there. Be ready. We have opportunities to serve right now. We just need people who are ready and who are willing, who want to serve. They have a heart to serve. If I see the challenge to not only receive and accept and enjoy and be thankful for the blessings and the gifts and the abilities and the opportunities that God gives me, but to use those blessings to benefit and to help and to bless and serve others, if I accept that challenge, that's what I want to do, then the question is, okay, well, how do I do that? Or how do I, you know, we had the form and I'm going to click and everything, but how do I become more consistent at allowing blessings to overflow out of my life to serve other people? Let me give you some things we got to do real quick. We'll do this real fast. But there's some things that I have to do, some actions that I have to take in order to be more consistent in overflowing things out of my life to serve other people. One of those is I have to have faith in Jesus. And that may seem like, well, that's common sense, just to have faith in Jesus. But what I want us to understand is my faith in Jesus actually moves me to serve Jesus. My trust in him, my belief in him is actually what moves me to do good for other people, because I trust and I believe that he is not just going to reward me by doing good things for other people, but he's going to do something with that gift. He's going to do something with the way that I serve and the way that I volunteer and the way that I help. He's actually going to do something good through me. There are two times in Scripture that talk about Jesus himself being amazed. If you read through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, those four books that talk about the life of Jesus here on this earth, there's all sorts of things that he did that amazed other people, that amazed his disciples, that amazed even the people that didn't like him very much, that amazed total strangers. Jesus amazed lots of people. There's two times in Scripture that he himself, Scripture says, was amazed. And one of those is found in Mark chapter 6 when Jesus is back home and he's teaching and he's talking about this new life that he's bringing, this new kingdom that he's ushering in, the life change that is expected of God for other people. And he's preaching, he's teaching, and he's ready to help, to perform miracles, to heal people, and all those kinds of things. And in Mark chapter 6, it says that the people that he grew up with, the people that saw him grow up as a kid and become this man, now they're like, I don't know if that's the Messiah. I don't know if he's really the Son of God. I don't know if I really want to put my trust and my faith in him. And it says specifically that Jesus couldn't do miracles there because they didn't believe in him. And it says in Mark chapter 6 and verse 6, he was amazed at their lack of faith. It wasn't that Jesus didn't have the power to heal. It wasn't that Jesus didn't have the ability to perform miracles. They didn't want it. And the reason that they didn't want those miracles and they didn't want that connection, they didn't want him to display his power, is because they didn't believe in him. They didn't have faith in him. And Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. And if there is anything that I would want to amaze Jesus with, it would not be my lack of faith. I want to trust that Jesus can do amazing things with how I serve, with how I choose to do good, because I believe that he's going to do something good with it. I trust in that. I have faith in that. Jesus says that's what faith in him really is. He says in John chapter 14, verse 12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. They will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Jesus says the one that believes in him, the one that trusts in him, the one who is serving others because they know and they believe what it's like to be served by him. The one who is choosing to sacrifice their time and their effort and their possessions to bless somebody else. They're doing that because they believe that Jesus is actually going to use their time and their effort and their stuff to bless somebody else. The people that have that kind of faith in Jesus, that have that kind of trust in him, they're going to do good stuff. They're going to serve. Not so that they'll get more faith in Jesus, but because they have faith in Jesus. The more that I trust in him, the more that I believe in him, the more that I put my faith in him, the more willing I will be to serve other people. I got to have faith in Jesus. And I also need to walk like Jesus. I need to walk like him. If I want service to overflow out of my life and the lives of others, I need to walk like Jesus. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, John says, whoever claims to live in him, whoever claims to have a relationship with Jesus, whoever claims to be in connection with him, must walk as Jesus did. And the picture that comes to my mind is years ago when I, you know, one of my little boys, we had a little toy lawnmower and a little toy weed eater. And when I would go out and do yard work, and I am a little bit meticulous about how I mow my yard. And when I go around mowing my yard, my little boy would come following along with his mower that didn't even have a blade or anything attached to it. It just made some kind of sound as he's going, but he would just follow. And I'm going down this way and he'd follow behind me. And then I turn around and be like, oh, we're turning around now. And he would go the other way. And he's trying to mow the yard and weed eat like me. He's walking like me. That's what John says that I need to do with Jesus. I need to walk like him. I need to look like him. I need to do what he would do. I need to go to the places that he would go. I need to act like him. So, how did Jesus walk? What did he do? There's this amazing picture that's painted in the book of Acts in chapter 10 when Peter is talking to this guy Cornelius who has heard of Jesus but doesn't really know that much about him. But he's ready to give his life to Jesus even though he doesn't know a whole lot about him. And Peter shows up to help him to create their relationship and to help him be baptized and to put his faith in Jesus. And Peter's standing there before Cornelius, and you think about it in that opportunity, somebody that doesn't, they've heard of Jesus but they don't really know about him. What would you say about Jesus? How would you describe him to somebody that doesn't really know him? I mean, of all the things that Peter, one of the closest disciples to Jesus, could have said, he could have said, you know, he's Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the chosen one, Jesus the Son of God, Jesus the creator of the universe. All these different things that he could have used. Jesus the miracle worker. Here's what Peter says about Jesus. I want you to see it in Acts chapter 10, beginning verse 37. He says, you know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Do you see it? Of all the ways that Peter could have described Jesus, of all the things that all the words that he could have used to describe Jesus, what did he say? Jesus of Nazareth at what? Went around doing good. That's how Jesus walked. He saw people in need, and he went to help. And sometimes it was a physical healing, and sometimes it was a spiritual healing, and sometimes it was a relationship healing, and sometimes it was a self-esteem healing. But he helped, he served, he blessed, he did the things that other people wouldn't do. He got out of his comfort zone. He broke social norms. Whatever it took to help people that were in need, Jesus did it. He went around doing good. And John says, that's how I need to walk. I need to walk like him. I need to be somebody who goes around doing good. Even when Jesus was tired, even when some people told him they shouldn't do what he was doing, even when he knew that some of the people he was helping were actually just taking advantage of what he was doing, he helped them anyway. No excuses. And that's how I'm called to walk as well. John says, you want to be connected with Jesus? Walk like Jesus. Go do good. So have faith in him. Walk like Jesus. And then finally, I need to point people to Jesus. The focus of my service needs to be on him and not on me. When I help, when I meet needs, when I serve, those things should be pointing to him because my serving isn't about me. It's about the person I'm serving and the God that has given me the ability to serve. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 10 and 11, here's what Peter says. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, if anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides so that in all things, what needs to happen? God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Look at what Peter says here. If I'm going to serve, if I'm going to do this, if God has given me gifts, if God has given me abilities, if God has given me stuff, if God has given me energy, all those things that he has poured into me, I need to pour those things out into the lives of other people. I need to serve. I need to use those gifts to bless other people so that they will pat me on the back, so that they will tell me how awesome I am, so that I will get a t-shirt that says, I volunteered in this particular ministry. Is that the reason why? No. If those things happen, is that a bad thing? No, but that's not the motivation. What does Peter say? The reason that I serve other people with the gifts that God has poured into me is so that he can be praised, so that he can get the credit. I serve others to point their eyes to Jesus. And see, the thing about that is that should prevent me from making any excuses. Sometimes we don't serve because I've never done that before. That's out of my comfort zone. I've done that before and I didn't like it. I did that before and I got stuck doing it. I wouldn't really enjoy that. That's not my preference. Now, I do believe that God has given all of us different gifts and abilities, and there are some things that some of us are better at than others. But God has called all of us when the opportunity is there to serve. And when I start coming up with all the reasons why I can't or don't want to serve in a particular way, when the opportunity is there, that's making it all about me. That's taking my eyes off of him. To be honest with you, God calls people all the time to do things that they're not comfortable with and maybe not very good at. God called Moses to lead the people out of Israel when he was a terrible speaker. God called Jeremiah to preach when Jeremiah said, I don't want to. God used perfume makers and jewelry makers to build a wall around a city. Why? Because he gave them the abilities that they needed, and he gave them the opportunity to use those gifts and those abilities. And said, I just need you to go serve. It wasn't about them. It was about him. If I'm going to be more consistent in letting service overflow out of my life, I got to have faith in Jesus. I got to walk like Jesus. And I got to point people to Jesus. I want us, as a church family, I want us to fulfill this mission, to reach out, to connect, and to serve. And whether that's here with our church or whether that's outside these walls, you know, if you got service opportunities at your workplace, in your neighborhood, your kids' school, let's be people who are known to look like and walk like and act like Jesus. We are known to be people who just go around doing good. We serve because we see that as our mission. Let me wrap up with this. You guys have been great paying attention this morning. Let me wrap up with this. There was a time when I was ministering to teenagers that a bunch of those teenagers eventually learned through experience not to be so quick when I asked for a volunteer. I would have something like, hey, I need a volunteer to social, you know, and a lot of times kids are like, you just say, I need someone to, and hands shoot up, right? Pick me, ooh, pick me. And there was a time, you know, eventually, especially the high school kids in my group who had experienced things in the younger days, knew that sometimes you don't really want to volunteer for whatever it is that he's asking for volunteers for. For example, I asked for volunteers one time at a retreat, and some of the people that are in this room right now remember when I did this. I asked for volunteers to see who could eat a Happy Meal the fastest. And I had multiple hands shoot up, and I selected the ones that I thought, this will be really funny. So I picked some volunteers, and they came up. And I had Happy Meals up on this table. And then they stood behind, each one of them stood behind their Happy Meal. And then I got blenders out. And we took the burger and the fries and the Coke and poured it all in the blender and blended it up. Still a Happy Meal. All the ingredients are there. And we poured that into the cup. So, okay, let's see who can down this the fastest. See, it kind of caused kids to hesitate. Maybe I don't want to volunteer. But that mentality, man, that as soon as somebody says, I need someone to, pick me. Ooh, pick me. Pick me. Please. What if that was our mentality when God shows us opportunities to serve? What if instead of coming up with excuses or comfort zones or all the reasons that we could give for not helping, for not doing something to benefit someone else, for not allowing service to overflow out of our lives, what if instead we say, oh man, I get to help some 3-year-olds start their journey of faith just by singing the B-I-B-L-E? Pick me. I get to help some teenagers learn how to build relationships, healthy connections with each other, and build trust in people that really care about them, and build faith in a Lord that loves them no matter what, just by chaperoning a trip to Six Flags? Pick me. I get to help people who walk in our doors for the first time recognize as soon as they walk in the door that this is a loving church family that accepts them as they are, where they are in their lives right now. I get to be the first face that shows them what an awesome church family they have just by volunteering to be a greeter once a month. Pick me. I mean, the list could go on, folks. You go through that list of opportunities that you saw earlier. There are opportunities to serve. There are opportunities to go around doing good. But I have to have the attitude that says, God, pick me. I'm ready. Pick me. I may have never tried it before. It may not go exactly the way it's supposed to. I don't know what the end result is going to be. Don't care. Pick me. What if that was our attitude? What would that do with this church? What kind of impact would that make in this town? If the people in this room right now, the people watching online right now, said from now on, I'm having a pick me heart, a pick me attitude. Is there an opportunity to serve? Is there an opportunity to volunteer? Can I pour something out of my life that God has poured into me? Pick me. We're going to stand up together in just a second. We're going to sing a song together. We do this every Sunday. And it's an opportunity not to put pressure on anybody and not to make anybody feel awkward or weird. It's just an opportunity for you. If there's something going on in your life right now that you need help with and you're trying to figure it out, you can't. You want prayers. You want support. You want encouragement. You want somebody else to lock arms with you and say, I know what that's like. Let me walk with you through this. Then you're welcome while we stand and sing to come forward and share that with this church family. And after a time together this morning, like we talked about, just serving and volunteering, it may not feel like one of those moments, but folks, if there is something that's going on in your life right now, whether it's sin, whether it's a relationship, whether it's guilt, whether it's time and priorities, whether it's just laziness, whatever it is that is keeping you from having the heart that says, God, please pick me. I'm ready to do good. Whatever it is that is keeping that from happening in your life, would you give it up today? Would you let go of it today? And if it's something that you're like, I can't let go of this on my own, I need help, then you're welcome to come share that with us. With no judgment from us, no criticism, just love and support and help, because we want to be a church that reaches out and connects and serves, because that's what our God has done for us. Can we help you with that? We want to. Let us know how, while together we stand and sing.